the likelihood is that when an attack happens, it may be done by somebody that we know or have known at some point in the past. Were that not so, it would mean that we were looking completely in the wrong place.
But I think many people in the public will be thinking, what is the point of surveillance if somebody who unfurls an ISIS flag outside a mosque and makes no secret of his affiliations with jihadist extremism is able to mow people down in a van and stab civilians in the street? What's the point of surveillance?
There are over 3,000 extremists in this country who are committed in some way to support or act in violent Islamist extremism. The way we operate is on a daily and weekly basis to assess the risk presented as far as we know from each individual and to prioritise accordingly. One of the main challenges we've got is that we only ever have fragments of information and we have to try to assemble a picture of what might happen based on those fragments. The result of that, of course, over the last 4 years is that 20 attacks have been found and stopped, and a larger number than that that we'll never know or be able to put a number to, stopped by the early interventions that we in the police now make whenever we see signs of extremist activity.
You mentioned the threat, possible threat from returnees, people who've gone out to fight in Syria and Iraq. 800 plus British jihadists who went out, 100 killed, your estimation. Do you know where the remaining 700 are and what they're doing?
So of that, over 800 people who have gone to Syria and Iraq, a proportion of them are back in the UK from several years ago, having given up on the fighting and come back for different reasons.
And you're monitoring them?
And they are part of that 3,000 number I spoke about, where they're sifted and assessed on an individual basis for risk, and we apply intelligence coverage and police coverage accordingly based on the risk they present.